Andrew Beecroft is the Children's Commissioner, kindly with us today, and talking about, well, a number of things, but indeed an opportunity to put a tunnel for our younger members of our community and society to get the right to vote. This is under consideration at the moment, and the Children's Commissioner, Andrew Beecroft, says it's the perfect opportunity to extend the right to vote to 16 and 17-year-olds. Andrew, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale. Nice to talk.
And you too. It's neat to catch up with you. Well, look, we've got a very youthful population, so it would add some voting muscle for Māori, but you're adamant that 16, 17-year-olds are in a position to help determine who governs the land. Share some corridor as to why you think that would be an appropriate move.
I think many 16 and 17-year-olds I meet think deeply about our country, are very sensitive to the key issues. They want to be involved. They want to have a stake in our future. In fact, I had a young 16-year-old come up to me the other day and said, "You're the bloke who thinks we should get a vote." And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, you're wrong. We should get not one vote. We should get two votes to every one that you grey-haired old men have got, because you're on the way out and we're on the way in, and it's our future, and we want to be involved and we want to have a stake in where the country's going." I thought that was terrific. I mean, it won't be compulsory. It'll be a matter of choice, just as it is for all of us, whether we vote or not, although I wish we would. And I'd like to see it go hand in hand with teaching civics in the classroom. But yeah, I think it's an idea whose time has come. And to be honest, Dale, it's absolutely inevitable that it will happen. It's just a question of whose watch it will be introduced in. Other countries do it. I know it'll excite debate and controversy, so it should. But I think, yeah, 16 and 17-year-olds have a lot to contribute, and why not trust them to vote?
I mentioned that with our youthful population, it might add a little bit of voting muscle for Māori. What impact would you suggest it might have on us having more of a say?
Well, I think it would. I think it'd be great for populations, as you say, that are predominantly youthful, and then Māori and Pacifica are two of those. I think many issues would, I think, be dealt with differently by politicians if those who experience them, like child poverty, had a chance to vote. And I think it would force, in a way, politicians to take into account a group who are left out of things. As I say, I mean, I don't think it's risky. I think with good civics teaching, I think all the evidence, too, is if you start a habit early, it's a habit for life. And at the moment, those who vote the least are the 18 to 25-year-olds. I'll be really interested in starting them voting while at school and to get that habit ingrained, because it's one of our key civic opportunities to have a say in the direction of our country.
You're one of the few who mentioned civic studies. It is a compulsory sort of system of learning in the States, I know. They learn about their constitution and the like. We were angling that one too, civic studies, so we could learn about the Treaty of Waitangi and the like. Has that been superseded, do you think, by the government's intentions to focus more on New Zealand history, on embedding more reo into the way that we learn in New Zealand schools? Or do you think that we still need a dedicated line of study, something akin to civic studies, Andrew?
Yep, not superseded, certainly a great start to learn more about our history and our background, but I think a basic course that talks about how the government's set up, what is Parliament, how MMP works, what's the effectiveness of your vote, what's a Member of Parliament, what a Minister does, role of judges, why they're independent, why I hope they can be trusted, all those things. I think that'd be a really good bedrock understanding for all New Zealanders to have, and what better place than at school. So yeah, I think that goes hand in hand with responsible voting. And I think, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds can consider things reflectively. They can think about things. I mean, they write great English essays. Yes, they can do some dumb, foolhardy, stupid things on the spur of the moment, which is why I think we should have 16 and 17-year-olds in the Youth Pacific Court. But they're equally capable of considered, thoughtful, mature decisions about big issues at the same time. That's the joy of youth. And I think, why not harness it and why not get them involved?
Some interesting points. Thanks for sharing them with us, Andrew. Oranga Tamariki, sweeping reforms, some stark criticism, and according to Kelvin, much of what was recommended by the independent review panel is being adopted by the government. How satisfied are you that that's the track that the government are going down?
Well, I'd say two things. I mean, I'm pleased that all the reports and the ministerial advisory report too has identified that Ōranga Tamariki has been causing harm and needs radical transformation. And I'm glad that they are committed to devolution of power to local communities, iwi and Māori organisation. That must be the ultimate aim. To be honest, I wish the report had gone further and was clearer on that point, but the door is open to get there. And I trust the government and I trust senior Māori leaders to put the pressure on to make sure that is where we get, because I think in the end, for Māori, by Māori, for Māori approaches, not a single approach, but approaches as and when ready around the country, that's got to be the way forward. Now, there's enough in the report and what the government is committed to do, I think, to get us there. But it's going to take some courage and some guts for that to happen, because the story of child, youth and family and its previous iterations has been lots of excitement, new vision, way back in 1989 with Pua Aotearoa 2, but without determined, consistent, brave change, these reports tend to stall and almost wither on the vine. And I think there's going to be a real need for those on the advisory group to stay the course, to ensure that there's a steady hand on the tiller and we get to where we all want to be, which is a radically different delivery system where Ōranga Tamariki shrinks and well-resourced community organisations and input grow. And we want, wherever possible, children both to be safe and to stay with their wider whānau and their culture. And I think that's achievable.